Folks, let's resume our meeting. And we're going to have the staff report on agenda item 14.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
The presentation is about 20 minutes. Our closed session is at 11.
Yes.
So if we start it, we probably will have to interrupt it. If we start the stormwater presentation, we will probably have to interrupt it before it's done.
Okay.
Last I heard was 15 minutes.
It's expanded.
I'll go for 10.
It's expanded.
Do I hear 10?
I hear 10 now.
Well.
Can we do the EO report, or was that going to be just written?
It's up to the chair. If you want to not split it up like this, then
I don't mind if it's split up. I mean, does the staff so we get 10 minutes, 10, 12 minutes, and then we
what would the board like to do? Okay.
Start it.
Why don't we start it, and
okay.
We'll cut it off right at 11.
Okay.
And
Dominic thinks he can do it in the allotted time, 13 minutes. And before we get started, though, I'll point out that we have Ryan Lodge and Lisa McCann sitting at the table with him, and so they're going to act as kind of a panel on this item for probably after 11 once we get to questions. But initially, Dominic Rock will summarize our staff report to you, where we're looking at ways to improve our processing of stormwater management plans for municipal facilities. Dominic.
Good morning, members of the board, Chairman Young. Thank you, Roger. In item 14, you have before you a proposal by stormwater staff to undertake a stakeholder process to develop improved regulations for municipal separate storm sewer systems, or MS4s. We are proposing a stakeholder process to develop these improved regulations for MS4s, and we believe that conducting such a process is in order to regulate and protect water quality sooner than we might otherwise do so through our current process, to regulate more MS4s and to secure a more comprehensive regulatory mechanism that can stand up to challenges. Region 3 now has stormwater management plans, or SWAMPs, for 24 traditional and 78 non-traditional MS4s awaiting approval and enrollment under the NPDES permit for small MS4s. In the staff report, we provided you some background information concerning how we arrived at the current juncture, how our situation compares to other regional boards, the prospects for continuing under the current approach to enrolling MS4s under the Phase 2 permit, and why staff has concluded that the current approach is neither sustainable nor efficient. And we describe a likely approach towards stakeholder engagement to address this issue. I'd like to take a few minutes to go over that information and also review the responses that we've received to the staff report from stakeholders. You have those responses in supplemental sheets 2 and 3, and as well as a letter that was provided to us early yesterday morning from the Natural Resources Defense Council. I first want to explain that we're discussing the Regional Board's regulatory program for small MS4s, referred to as Phase 2 communities, or Phase 2 MS4s in the stormwater parlance. Region 3 has only one Phase 1 MS4, and that's the city of Salinas. They're under an individual NPDES permit. The Phase 2 NPDES permit was adopted in 2003 as a statewide general permit. So our effort is to enroll all the remaining MS4s in our community, or in our region, under that permit. Region 3 is somewhat unique in that we have a large number of MS4s relative to other regions. Is there a pointer anywhere?
Large number of Phase 2 MS4s.
Yes, excuse me. There's no pointer, laser pointer. Sorry about that. Anyway, for the sake of comparison among other regional programs, we presented the numbers directly from the State Board website of Phase 2 MS4s that require regulation. And you can see that we have the most traditional MS4s. Those are referred to as Attachment 1 and 2. They're basically cities, counties, and municipalities. So this doesn't include the universities, the school districts, military bases, prisons, which are referred to as non-traditional MS4s. And other regions with large metropolitan areas have mostly Phase 1 MS4s and are regulating them through a variety of NPDES permits, including individual permits, regional, general permits. Our own Phase 1 community, City of Salinas, is regulated through an individual permit, which was adopted in 1999 and then renewed by this board in 2005. So we have a great deal of interest as well in stormwater in Region 3. We're the only region that has had hearings to approve stormwater management plans. Environmental organizations have petitioned two of those approvals, swamp approvals, and so two out of three have been petitioned. Or rather, two of the most recent three that were approved have been petitioned. So we're different than other regions in that we have a large number of MS4s to enroll. Our MS4s are of the Phase 2 scale and type and have been subject to permit requirements only since 2003, as opposed to the Phase 1 communities, which have been regulated since the early 90s, some of them. And we have intense interest from stakeholders. This slide reviews our progress in enrolling the MS4s to date. You can see that the first MS4 we adopted was Soledad, City of Soledad, and that was in September of 2004. And then most recently, in March of 2007, San Luis Obispo County was enrolled under the Phase 2 permit. In the staff report, we give projections for continuing with the current approach to enrolling MS4s in the general permit to demonstrate that with the current staff resources, we will continue to have the great majority of MS4s, great majority of MS4s and their stormwater management plans awaiting approval for years to come. And when we display this as a timeline, you can see that even by the year 2018, assuming we commit two staff to swamp approval, the process of approving them, we will still have 62 MS4s outside of permit coverage. Staff's concluded that this situation is ineffective and with current resources will never result in a successful regulatory program for MS4s, one where all MS4s are under permit and one where they are implementing programs with measurable water quality improvements as an outcome. We believe that with a stakeholder process, we can get there faster, that we can protect water quality sooner, and we can secure a more comprehensive regulatory approach that will stand up to challenges. Our intent is to go from having 62 MS4s awaiting enrollment in 10 years to having all MS4s covered in less than 2 years. Our proposal is to engage stakeholders over a period of several months to explore alternate approaches to developing a regulatory program. The stakeholders would include, of course, the currently permitted MS4s, those yet to be enrolled under the permit, environmental organizations, and other agencies. Region 3 has successfully used stakeholder processes before to refine our regulatory approach to a variety of pollution problems. We used stakeholder approaches in designing our current timber program. We used it and continue to use it routinely in developing implementation plans for TMDLs. And we used it to develop the conditional waiver for irrigated agriculture. This slide just demonstrates the typical process that's required to engage stakeholders, preparing and planning, designing, engaging, all the way to evaluating and applying the process. So it's not meant to describe our process specifically, but it's a generic kind of approach that is taken. We've not designed our own stakeholder process for addressing this pollution problem. And we're not proposing a large number of meetings. We're not expecting to have a sort of a free-for-all, big, giant meeting and resolve all these issues. We actually would expect to create a variety of forums for engaging stakeholders, including face-to-face workshops, meetings with presentations on specific issues, circulations of draft documents and alternatives, issue papers. There's a real variety of approaches to stakeholder engagement, and we've not determined what our approach would be for this process. We would consider things like where to hold the meetings, the geographic location of these forums, balancing the challenge that stakeholders might have attending meetings in one particular location, with the risk that having separate conversations in separate cities would result in more confusion than we want. And we need to consider how to structure participation. We might structure participation, stakeholder involvement, around like MS4s, those that are all coastal MS4s, those that are interior. We might structure it around the phase two, the attachments, as they characterize the types of communities that are under or subject to regulation. We might structure subgroups around particular thorny issues or common obstacles and nature of discharge. There's a variety of ways to structure this. That is unresolved. We could conceivably arrive at a tiered approach to the stakeholder engagement process that would, in effect, mirror the tiered approach to regulating MS4s, because clearly there is not a one-size-fits-all approach to regulating these entities. Regardless of the precise structure and conduct of our process, we do recognize there are clear advantages of this approach, and we'd like to mention some of those. First, it would be an opportunity to identify the substantive issues that have come up over and over through swamp hearings and focus on them in a problem-solving approach. I think you would agree that a swamp hearing is not a problem-solving arena. We need to have a different kind of conversation to address some of these issues. And so it allows stakeholders, including members of the board, to engage outside of that context of swamp approvals. And I believe we can make more progress than we have in the approval hearings. It is a fully transparent process, so there is no opportunity for making separate arrangements and then presenting those to you. It presents an opportunity for all stakeholders to be involved, and then we would share all information generated uniformly. And it would promote collaboration among stakeholders. Collaboration is essential to producing, for example, a coordinated approach to hydro modification modeling and management planning, which is a big part of managing stormwater. And it's what's required to really develop the appropriate regulatory program. It can't be done, I don't think, MS4 by MS4 in this region, because these MS4s are not Contra Costa County. They don't have thousands of people, quarter of a million stakeholder or taxpayers. Furthermore, that kind of collaboration, this kind of collaboration, a stakeholder process, could become the nucleus of that sustained collaboration that Gary Wolf mentioned this morning, whereby you start to identify, you know, either a joint powers authority approach or some sort of a funding approach. In the short term, at a minimum, it would provide the context for collaborating around seeking funds. That is $90 million of funds that are available through Prop 84 for stormwater. It is also probably the best approach to reconcile differences between the programs that the enrolled MS4s have versus those of the programs of MS4s yet to be enrolled. And it would offer an opportunity to collectively examine approaches of other regions, which we've done, and we're definitely keeping tabs on. Finally, it would give us an opportunity to finally clarify and arrive at consistent definitions of key concepts such as low-impact development.
Dominic, could I interrupt you?
Yes.
We're right at 11 o'clock.
Okay. That would be great, because the next thing I want to talk about is the responses to the staff report. So good time to think.
Okay.
Mr. Frank? Chair, I do need to make an announcement. I want to announce that the board will be meeting in closed session to discuss three matters. Los Osos Community Services District versus the Central Coast Water Board. Los Osos Community Services District versus the Central Coast Water Board, a different matter. And Prohibition Zone Legal Defense Fund versus the Central Coast Regional Board. And also to note that Ms. Lori Oken will not participate in those matters.
Neither will I.
Yeah, and I think Doctors Hunter and Bowker.
Okay.
I'm out.
And Mr. Briggs,
I'm out as well.
And Mr. Briggs is out. So Michael Thomas is our staff person advising the board on this.
And I wanted to say one thing, too, about another item that's on the closed session agenda, but I'll say in an open session. The matter of Tacker versus Waterboard, it was a Public Records Act case. We found out Wednesday that we won that case in the Court of Appeal. They were seeking attorney's fees, and the court found in our favor.
Okay, great. All right, so.
Reconvene at 1?
We will reconvene
one o'clock?
At 1 o'clock. And we'll continue with our staff report on this item. Thank you.